say that a lot, but a lot of times you don't preach a sermon as soon as you think about it. It takes a while for an incubation period and to kind of birth in your heart. And tonight, I've been thinking about this for quite some time, and I hope that God will do something for us tonight. I hope He'll do something for me. I hope that the Lord will, do something for you as an individual, and of course, for us as a church. And I want the Lord's will to be done in all of our lives, but especially when we talk about what we're going to talk about tonight, I thought it might be a good idea with our fall program coming up, that we talked about reaching other people for Jesus. And there's going to be a vast majority of people here tonight that will not be ready for what I'm going to preach on tonight, but I'm going to be preaching it to the ones that are ready. There are some that people who are willing to follow the Lord and go a long ways with Him. There are some who are willing to sacrifice. There's some that's willing to work. And it's to you that really are serious about really honestly doing something for God that I want to talk to tonight. I want to use a phrase from the Word of God tonight, talk to you about soul winning and how you and I can and should reach somebody else for the Lord. I title the message tonight, "Give Me Children or Else I Die." Give me children or else I die. If you don't understand much about Jewish history, you wouldn't understand the title of that message. Anybody who's read the Bible any at all knows much. I'm not saying history in a history book. I'm talking about history in the Word of God. Knows that one of the highest honors that a Jewish girl could have in the Old Testament was to bear a child. And especially a man child. And those ladies back in the Old Testament, they felt like if they did not reproduce and bear children, that they weren't accomplishing what a lady should accomplish in this world. Now, I know all of that's changed in our generation. Nowadays, women who have babies are looked upon as ignorant by the sophisticated, wicked ones. And they're looked upon like that poor dumb thing didn't know no better and stuff like that. But in the Bible, it was an honor for a woman to have a child. I believe tonight that it's still an honor for a lady to bear a child. Sometimes, I've got three girls, and sometimes we'll go in a restaurant, and here I've got Carissa by the hand, and Carrie's walking behind me, and my wife comes in with Corey, and we're all coming in like this, and some people look at us like them poor, ignorant country folk. Don't they know that you can't have no fun with a bunch of young'uns? And I want to tell you something tonight. I wouldn't trade them three baby girls for everything that they've got. You that have children, no, children can give you a joy that the best, finest house, the most expensive car, all the money in the bank, there's nothing can compare with them. In our generation, I heard of a lady not long ago that said she wasn't going to get tied down, with a bunch of little snotty-nosed young'uns because she wanted to do this and wanted to do that and wanted to learn to go places and have a big time. Well, that lady had no business getting married. Amen? Now, the Lord teaches us to reproduce, and I'm going to use it in the spiritual sense tonight and preach on "Give me children, else I die." We have a lot of people in churches tonight that are satisfied never winning anybody to Jesus. That just go from Sunday to Sunday, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, and never win a soul and reproduce a child into the family of God. I'm saying to you tonight, especially as we begin to think about our fall program, bring them in. I'd like to kind of direct this message toward those next 8 to 9 weeks that we'll be facing and help us to get a new burden and a fresh zeal and enthusiasm about seeing people born into the family of God. And I think one of the greatest things we can do besides being right with God ourselves is to influence somebody, to witness to them, to pray for them, to labor with them and then see them born into the family of God. If that's ever happened to you, if God's ever used you to reach somebody else for the kingdom of God, you know that there's a great joy and satisfaction in that you find in nothing else. As a matter of fact, great men, I'm going to quote you some what great men have said about reaching other souls for Jesus. Richard Baxter said this, "The sin that accuses my conscience the most is not winning souls." Matthew Henry said, "If I don't gain souls, I have little satisfaction." Bringing one soul to Jesus is the highest achievement possible, spoken by George Truett. And of course, R.A. Torrey, the great soul winner, said, "Win souls is the only reason that Christians are left in the world." What he was saying is, if God didn't have other people for us to reach, He would have taken us on to heaven as soon as we got saved. Give me children or else I die. I believe tonight it's time we as God's people got serious about this matter of birthing families and boys and girls into the family of God. I believe it's a thing that, of course, when Zion prevails, she'll bring forth sons and daughters. I realize that's a reference to the Jewish nation and being born in a day and bringing forth the Jewish people and all of that. But you can take that thing and put it on us, and the same principle applies. When an individual travails, they'll win somebody to God. When a soul travails, they'll win somebody to God. Our church has not prospered for 10 years because God likes us any more than He does another church. Our church or any other church has not been blessed because God just says, "Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, to which church shall I go?" And just say, "Well, I believe I'll bless that and fool it with them." God's not like that. God is looking for somebody who's willing to pay a price and see how serious we are about people getting saved. I want to say tonight, folks, there's a lot of people here tonight, big crowd here on Sunday night, and I praise God for it, but there are literally thousands of people out there tonight that are going to hell, have no hope, they're going to burn forever and ever and ever, and God help us, I don't see how we can be satisfied with ourselves if we're not gaining souls for heaven. Oh, I tell you tonight, brother, we need to be doing it. I want to show you some people in the Scripture tonight that bore sons for the glory of God. Turn to Genesis chapter 17, and we'll look at this first young lady here in the Word of God. That's Genesis, first book in the Bible, chapter number 17. "Give me children, or else I die." I tell you, you can just about say nowadays, "Give me children, or I will die." A lot of churches nowadays that are not winning souls are dying. They used to have the victory. They used to have the power of God. The shout used to be in the camp. And brother, they quit the door knocking. They quit the preaching on the street. They quit the passing out the tract and said, "God has really blessed us." And they quit doing what caused God to bless them in the first place. And so God had to withdraw His blessings and power. God does not give the Holy Spirit that we might enjoy ourselves. God don't give the Holy Ghost that we can whoop and have a big time, although that comes with it. The Bible said after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses. And I believe tonight, brother, it's time we've done it. In Genesis 17, look at verse number 15. Genesis 17:15. "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai anymore, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Now you know the story here that Abraham laughed and Sarah laughed, and they thought it was ridiculous because of their age. Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 90. Now listen to me this evening, folks. God gave Sarah a son of promise. They wanted a boy for years and years and years, and that boy never hardly did come, but one day God spoke to him. And he said, "You got it, Abraham. It ain't going to be too much longer till the boy's going to be here." I believe this tonight. You can disagree with me if you want to, but I believe this tonight. Sometimes we'll agonize and we'll pray. And we'll say, oh God, please, God, give me a soul. God, please, let me win a soul. God, save so-and-so. God, give so-and-so. God, give so-and-so. God, get a hold of so-and-so. God, get a hold of so-and-so. God, get a hold of so-and-so. You may do that for a year. You may do that for 5 years. You might do that for 10 years or 15 years. But there comes that blessed day when God, by His Spirit, just kind of speaks to you and says, you got it. And boy, the Lord sees down there, and brother, that is a blessed feeling, man, when God just gives you the assurance. Has God ever just gave you the assurance that He's going to answer your prayer? Man, that is wonderful. That's one of the greatest blessings of life, to be praying real hard for something, and about that time, God just give it to you. It ain't happened yet, but He give you a promise. And brother, I believe just as sure as I'm standing here tonight, that God has given people down here some promises that they can claim and claim and believe, and it's just as good as done, because God's going to do it. God gave Sarah a son of promise, but it took a long time. I'm saying, brother, if we're going to claim God's promise, He's got a promise for me and you. That promise is in Psalm 126 and verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God's gave me and you a promise that if we'll sow the seed and put out the word, the sons will be born into the family of God. I tell you, brother, it ought to be our cry. Give me children, else I die. I've noticed that was the cry of the great missionaries. I've noticed that anybody who done anything for God in the past come to that place in their life when they said, Lord, give me souls. God, give me souls. Our Sunday school teachers, our bus workers, you preachers, everybody that's here, we ought to be agonizing. God, give us souls. God, give us souls. And if we'll do that, God will bless us and give us the kind of church He wants us to have. Instead of trying to have a good church, we ought to be after souls. God will make us a good church. If we forget about souls and quit witnessing or quit knocking on doors or quit taking the story and quit putting out the gospel, then we dry up. You understand? We dry up. And if there's anything that makes me sick, it's to go to a church that's dead and watch them try to pump up something real. I've been to churches where the shout used to be, where the power of God used to be, and all they do is remember it, and so now they go, glory to God, hallelujah, but it ain't real. There's something missing. There's something gone. There's something that used to be there that's not there. I don't know about you, but I stay in a constant, sometimes fear, that God will just move away from us. And boy, it'll be dead and cold. But as long as we keep our eyes on the right track and have the right motive and cry out, God, give us souls, there's no chance of that happening, brother. There's no chance at all. God looks down and He says this, I love souls. My son died for souls. And when we get interested in souls, God will say, hey there, there's the people I'm interested in, the one that's interested in souls. I said, give me children, else I die. That made a great preacher cry out. He said, Lord, give me souls or take my soul. Oh my, what a prayer. The Apostle Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Sarah had a son of promise, and the day finally come when Sarah became pregnant, and finally she got worse and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then she had a pain, and she said, Abraham, it's a coming. And Abraham said, I'd have never believed it. And she said, Abraham, we hung in there, didn't we? I tell you what, boy, God's blessed us. We made it through this 9 months. Now the boy's on the way. And Abraham said, glory to God, I know it's true, but I just can't believe it till I see it. And about that time, a sweat rolled off of her, and she screamed and hollered, and boy, she had labor there for a while, and it wasn't long to, here come little old bitty baby boy. And Abraham said, glory to God, it took a long time. I had to even go out and manufacture me a false profession in Ishmael, trying to fulfill God's promise. And old Ishmael got in on easy believism or something. He really didn't get it. And here come Isaac, just like God said he would. And here he is. Here he is. My boy's here. I'm saying to you, church, if we'll be faithful, you listen to me, if we'll be faithful and hang in there, and wait on God. One of these days, you hear me, you ladies that's got husbands that's lost. You hear me, you ladies that's got boys out on drugs. You hear me, if you've got a wayward son or daughter, one of these days, they'll come down that aisle. They'll be born into the family of God. They'll be here. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be next week. But you hang him there and say, give me children, else I die. And the day will come when God will give them to me. Did you know you can't hardly find a place in the Bible where God ever really refused somebody when they just got plumb dog unselfish? I mean, just to the point where nothing else mattered but that prayer request and that burning desire. I've noticed that about God. Oh, there's been time, and I'll say this to you young preachers, when you go out to do a work, whether it's pastor or church, whatever it is, you know what you've got to have? You've got to have a burning desire to see people get saved. Amen. Not to be a great preacher, to see people saved. If you want people saved bad enough, God will take care of your preaching. God will take care. You know what you've got to do? You've got to be willing to lose yourself. You've got to be willing to make a fool out of yourself. And don't worry about what people think of you, that you might gain souls for heaven. I hope that everybody in here tonight will get a burden for souls like you've never had it before. Amen? Give me children, else I die. Secondly, turn to Genesis 30. Genesis chapter 30. Let me show you another lady in the Scripture who had this same problem that some of us has got. She just wasn't reproducing too good. And she said, I need some boy. I need some babies. And some of you here tonight, you may be barren. The Lord may have shut your spiritual womb. And you need to bring some family, some people into the family of God. Genesis 30 and verse 1. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister, that's Leah, and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Oh, there's a young lady in the Bible who her sister was a winning soul right and left. I mean, she's a getting them in there. And boy, old Rachel got envious. And Rachel said, bless Drew, I got to have some of that. I mean, I got to have me some young'uns. And boy, Rachel looked over at her and she told her husband, she said, listen, big boy, I'm sick and tired of this. I said, I'm going to have me a baby or I'm going to die trying, one of the two. I'm going to have me a child or else I die. And brother, it does me and you some good sometimes to look around and see some people twinning some souls. See old boys bringing them 44 and see them bringing them 25 and 13, 29, 24 and 23 and say, bless Lord, God, I want to do that. God, let me win somebody or let me die. If you ain't never winning nobody the Lord, what good are you doing? Eating up all the food? Breathing all the air, spending all the money. We need to have some people that will cry out, oh God! Now most of you are not willing to do that. Most of you are willing to say this. If somebody wants to know how to be saved, I'd be glad to tell them I'd like to win them. But that's as far as it goes. How long has it been since you got down and said, God, give me children or I die. She ended her sister. Her sister had boys. And then this girl got serious. Now notice what happened here in Genesis 30 when she got serious. A strange thing happened. Verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. Amen. Rachel had a son of travail. Rachel had a son of travail. Buddy, it wasn't easy for her, but God remembered her, and God hearkened to her, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. In other words, Rachel was saying, she's saying it was a reproach for me to not to have no kids. And I'm saying to you tonight, whether it's me, you, or your best friends, or your grandma, it is a reproach to Jesus for us to be saved and go through life and never take nobody to heaven with us and never influence nobody to God for us. It's a reproach on the name of God. Oh, brother, tonight, I'm telling you, she said, give me children, else I die. And God looked down and he said, okay, Rachel, you mean business now, sister. I'll do it for you. How when's the last time you sat up and read and tried to meditate? It's amazing, ain't it? I'll get to this more in just a minute. I'm going to show you another or two. Isn't it amazing? Now, please understand what I'm getting ready to say. Somebody in our family can go to the hospital for a major operation, and we'll be right there and sit up with them all night. And that's very commendable. That's very good. I'm glad you're willing to do that. I just ask you this. If we're willing to sit with somebody who's had a cancer operation and sit there with them all night, why are we not willing to sit with a soul for 2 hours trying to get them saved? I don't understand that. I got a one-track mind, man. I think about eternity. Everything I look at, I think of eternity. And I'm glad it's that way. You know what a fanatic is? A fanatic is a man that won't change his mind and can't change the subject. He's got a one-track mind. And when I see somebody set up somebody all night, I think, well, that's good. I mean, everybody ought to be willing to do that. But I think, my Lord, couldn't we sit for a little while with a soul laboring and travailing to try to get that soul born into the family of God? I'll tell you something that happened to me before. One night, it was back when our church hadn't been going but about a year. I guess maybe a year and a half. We was up in the old building. We was just getting going. We'd been going about 2 years, and God was blessing. We was running about 160, 70 in Sunday school. And the Lord began to bless. About 2 years, I guess. And one night somebody called me and they said, can you come out here and witness somebody? And this girl wanted me to witness to her boyfriend. And her sister was there and some other people was there. And me and somebody went. I don't even remember who went with me. But we went in there that night and I began to talk to that old boy. That was on Saturday night. I talked to him. We talked about 10 o'clock. He brought up questions. We went around this way. We went around that way. We went around the other way. We went around the other way. We went around the other way. I told him everything I know. We was from Genesis to Revelation. I preached sermons. I told him illustrations. I told him, he said, but what about this? And boy, you know what? At 4:30 the next morning, on Sunday morning, we was still going around and around and around. I said, but now listen. And boy, time got away from us. And about 5 o'clock that morning, I said, are you ready to get right with God? I said, but I'm going to stay here as long as you will. And finally, I guess he said, I'm going to have to, I reckon. And he said, yes, I am. And we hit our knees. And I got into bed about between 5:30 and 6 o'clock that morning. Had to be here at Sunday school at 10, a little after about 9:30. And boy, I went home and the devil said, boy, you nuts, you wasted all night long. And I think, wasted it? Are you crazy? That's just exactly what God called us to do. I mean, listen, if somebody's up there dying in the hospital, we'd stay up with them till 5 o'clock in the morning. Why not worry and try to get a soul out of the jaws of the devil till 5 o'clock in the morning? I mean, we got to mean business, folks. We can't just go in somebody's house and say, would you like to be saved? Okay, well, I've done my part, God. That got me off the hook. And we was almost glad they said no, so we don't have to fool with them. God won't never give us children like that. We've got to have a desire. We've got to have a desire. We've got to have a desire. We've got to say, God, give me children, else I die. I wish some of you young boys that get a burden like that for that high school and for that places where you work and look at those masses of kids running down there in the lunchroom and boy, just break your heart and say, God, 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 sweep them in, sweep them in, sweep them in, give us children or I die. If we can stay up with somebody and take their temperature and give them medicine every 3 hours to keep their hot fever down, couldn't we stay up with them all night to keep them out of a fire that's going to burn them forever? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. You don't always see overnight results. First Samuel chapter 1. And in this scripture here, I want you to look at verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Her adversary kept saying, you ain't nothing. You ain't nothing because you ain't had no kid. That's the way the devil do it. He'll beat you down and beat you down and beat you down. And he'll say, well, you ain't won no by the Lord. You ain't even saved yourself. You ain't. And your adversary will provoke you.
Verse 7, and as he did so year by year, she did the right thing. She went up into the house of the Lord. So she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Uh-oh. There's a girl's going to have a youngin'. There's a girl God's going to look favorably on. There's a girl who's sincere. There's a girl who says, God, I want a baby more than I want to eat. God, I want a baby more than I want to sleep. Oh, God! Oh, Lord! Please! And boys, it wasn't long. Look at 11. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a child, man child, then I'll give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. People misunderstand you if you really get serious. Hey, if there's some ladies, I know sometimes there's ladies come up here to our church, and I've seen a lot of time they'll come in here during the daytime on their lunch break and lay around up here on this floor and scream and cry or beg God to get a hold of their family, or they'll go up here in this prayer room. Now to the world, old man come in here and he's working on the lights or he's working on something fixed. He thinks that's mighty strange. He thinks what, they drunk or something, passed out. He don't understand it. But boy, I tell you, when you get serious before God for winning souls, there's going to be a lot of people not understand you. They're going to wonder why you don't want to go sit around and talk to them at their house for 2 or 3 hours after service when your heart's about to break because you ain't won a soul. And you can't, and brother, you can't fellowship as much as you'd like to. I'm all for fellowship, folks. I'm all for getting together and having a good time. I mean, I really am. But I tell you what, folks, they sometimes I got such a heavy burden and my heart's broken because souls walk out these doors that are not saved. I don't want to talk to people. I want to talk to God. I don't want to be around people. I want to be around God. I want to say, Lord, let them get saved. God, let them be saved. And she got down to business with tears. The sad thing about most Christians is this. Their loved ones are going to hell and they'll cry at the judgment of God when it's too late to do anything about it. She cried. Look at verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. You can't beat that thing with a stick, brother. God will give children to people that want them. I think about old Jack Hiles. Do you think Jack Hiles gets to win as many people to the Lord as he does simply because he's lucky and happens to be in the right place at the right time? I've heard him say this. You listening, preachers? You listening, soul winners? You listening, bus workers? I've heard him say this. I heard him say that ain't a week goes by but what he don't miss at least one whole night of sleep and prayer. You reckon it be because you ain't winning nobody because you just ain't got serious enough with God and shed some tears? I want to tell you something, folks. I've seen a lot of churches where they really claim great things were happening. I've been to camp meetings where they tore the roof off the house and there's one thing missing. Tears for the lost. And I'm not too impressed with a whole lot of shouting where there's no tears.
Amen! Brother, that's hard to fake, you know it. Buddy, I like to get in them prayer meetings where we can cry.
And the longer you're saved and the more preaching you hear, sometimes the harder it is for you to cry because your heart gets hard. You get used to it. And boy, when I get to the place where I ain't, sometimes I stop and I say, you know, I ain't cried in a long time. Something wrong with me, God. Help me. Crying's not a sign of weakness. Your eyes need a bath a lot of time more than... We was up here and we had a good prayer meeting last night, boy. We had a good one. If you missed the prayer meeting last night, it just kept getting gooder and gooder and gooder. And there's several of the men come, some come in, some others come in late. Or something. And boy, we got down here and started praying. We prayed for a little while. And it got real down there, and I had to get up. I was laying right over there, and I had to get up. And old Bruce is over yonder somewhere squalling. I mean a squalling, boy. And I mean God seemed like the Lord got a hold of me. Next thing I know, now, you think I'm crazy. You'll think I'm a fanatic. I don't care. You wouldn't believe what other people think about me. I went around and I started anointing all the chairs with oil. I didn't use oil. I just used my hand. And I went down to here and I said, Lord, bless the people sitting this. Everybody that's sitting in a pew in here, I prayed for your seat last night. You are sitting on a prayed for bench. And that's why you feel so guilty over your sins. And I went around to here. I got every member in the choir. I walked on. I do that a lot of times. A lot of times. I'll come up here, nobody here. And I'll go around and lay hands on every. Oh, you, oh, that's crazy, preacher. Well, if it's crazy, don't ever do it. But I tell you what, brother. I went around here and I prayed for all these seats. And I said, God, get a hold of these kids that sit on these pews. God, get a hold. And I trusted the Lord to get a hold of some people sitting in these seats this morning. And He did, too. It got gooder and gooder. Here come old brother Mark here in. He's laid out here, and I heard him start crying. And when they start crying, you can look out. And next thing I know, I start crying. I say, oh, oh God. Oh God, Lord, don't let us be satisfied. Please, God, please. This happened last night. I know something good is going to happen today. You know something? Those days are just about gone in a lot of people's lives. Satisfied. Getting along pretty good. I know some. I've read about some fellas that wanted to win souls so bad, and they got prayed up. They went out to look for somebody to witness to, and one of them was going down the street, and the other one was walking beside him, and one of them was out on a busy street corner, and he looked up and said, "I hate the devil," and the other one said, "I do too." And another guy come out of the crowd crying, saying, "What must I do to be saved?" And son, they told that guy how to get saved and won him to the Lord down there, and he got born again. And one of them said, "I just love it when the Lord does the unusual like that." He said, "I just love it." And because both them old boys had the power of God on their life. Let me tell you something. I got a real blessing this evening. Got a phone call from Mississippi. And this week, you know, I was down there all week, and I thought, well, maybe the Lord will heal me while I'm down here, you know, with my back and everything. And I thought, maybe this is it. God's going to heal me. This is going to happen. Great revival. And I worked hard praying this week. I put some work into it. I mean, really, that's all I've done. Went to the store and bought me a little pad. Well, I eat when they had a meal prepared. And I went to Walmart and bought my girl something. And other than that, I went visiting with a preacher some. And other than that, I stayed in my room all day long praying and reading. I said, "God, please do something down here. Please do something down here. Please do something like here." The church run, I think they had 44 in Sunday school last Sunday. Monday night I preached. And I preached that sermon that night, and I preached about praying for revival and how we ought to be on our knees praying for revival and stuff like that. And I noticed during the invitation, there's a young girl, looked like she's about 15, just started bawling. And she started crying and everything, and she did not come to altar. She wouldn't come. That just broke my heart. So the next day I said, "I got to get right with God. I got to get the sin out of my life." And I stayed in on the bed and I'd say, "God help me. God help me. Oh Lord, please help me. Please help me." And I got up Tuesday night and it was deader than Monday night. I went, I called my wife. I call my wife every night when I'm going out of town like that. And somebody said, old Billy Kelly said that one time. They said, "Good night, you mean you make a long distance call every night?" He said, "That's right." They said, "Don't that get expensive?" He said, "It's cheaper than alimony." If you'd gone that much, you would too, son. So I called her and she said, "How was the service tonight?" She asked me two nights in a row. She don't ever ask when it was good. She said, "How was it tonight?" And I said, "It's awful." I said, "I ain't complaining." I said, "Honey, I just something wrong. I don't know. I feel like it's just blah. So I got down to business and I said, bless God, I'm going to get the sin out of my life. I'm going to get right with God. And I prayed, and I read, and I prayed. I stayed up till 15 to 2 that morning studying on AIDS. Like I had me nightmares all night, man. I was scared to death. I was afraid to put my face on the sheets. I've been doing my study on AIDS, you know, and my message on AIDS has now developed into 5 messages. And I dreamed that night I had cancer. I dreamed that I've been hurting down through here, you know, in my leg, and still hurting. And I thought it turned into cancer, and I was afraid to tell everybody. And they told me I had cancer, and I said, oh, Lord, this is it. And I just tossed and turned, and I got up the next day, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And I went back Wednesday night, and I preached on hell. And Wednesday night, I was so disappointed. It seemed like it went pretty good, and the longer the service went on, you preachers know what I'm talking about. It started out real, real. And then as it went on, it just kind of just got less and less real. And the seemed like nothing. The invitation, nothing. And I said Thursday, bless the Lord, I'm going to get right. I'm going to see something happen here. God, please. I made up my mind to pray all day. I prayed, I read. And we did have a boy Thursday night after the service got saved. And as a big guy, pretty big round guy, he come every night, and he sat right over here on this side, and the preacher told me, he said, see that big guy over there? And I said, yeah, and he said, he's not saved. Oh, boy, did I ever go to working on him. I prayed for him, and he shook my hand, told me he enjoyed it, and Wednesday night, I preached on hell, he didn't make a move. Thursday night, I forgot what I preached on, something, I had a real strong invitation, he didn't make a move, but he come in the prayer room. I said, glory to God, got lost man coming in the prayer room. The Lord's really working on him. He's back Friday night. Nothing much happened. And I left. I had to leave the preacher's house at 20 after 4 yesterday morning to drive to Jackson to catch a plane to Atlanta and to wait on an oven for 2 hours, come to Asheville, and then get back down here. And you know something? The preacher called me this evening about 3 o'clock. Gonna get good now. I wouldn't have told you all this other stuff. This good part hadn't happened. Preacher called me about 3 o'clock while I was studying for this message tonight. He said, Brother Danny, I just thought I'd call and tell you some good news. I said, what? He said, man, it's on. He said, you wouldn't believe it. He said, you know that young lady that stood back there and cried that first night of the revival? I said, that girl about 14, 15? He said, yeah. He said, I went and visited her yesterday and she got in. I said, glory to God, hallelujah. He said, you know that big man that sat over there? On the, I said, yeah. He said, guess what? He said, I went by to visit him yesterday. And he called his name. He said, man, when are you going to get saved? He said, I am saved. He said, what? When did you get saved? He said, I got saved Tuesday night when that preacher preached on Moses and his rod. He done went home, asked the Lord to save him by himself. Now, oh, glory to God, hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And I said, that sorry thing, all week I prayed my head off for him. He's already saved. You wouldn't believe how I prayed for him Wednesday, and he done got saved Thursday night. Why did he tell me? And he told the preacher, he said, I couldn't have slept through a week of that. No, sir. Well, that's a good time to tell me, man, after I get home, about kill myself. He said, but that ain't all, Brother Danny. He said, you know that other lady? He said, there's a young girl there Wednesday night when you preached that message on hell and nothing didn't happen. I said, yeah. He said, there's a young girl. He said, she walked the aisle this morning and she got saved. And then he told me, he said, I went to another girl was out of church last week because she had some problem at a miscarriage or something like that. He said, I talked to her and she got saved. He said, we've had 5 souls saved since yesterday. And he said, we had 76 for preaching service this morning. It's a new record. The most the church has ever had. We had 76. He is on cloud 9 because they had that 76. They're running in the 40s. Had 76 this morning. I said, glory to God, it does pay. If we'll put forth an effort, if we'll pay and pay the price and pay the price, our God in heaven, He'll come through and answer our prayer. I don't care. You say, well, Brother Danny, you don't know my husband. I know God's got a hammer big enough to crack any nut in McDowell County. You can do it. How about some tears?
How about some tears?
When's the last time you cried for somebody's going to hell?
Buddy, I'll tell you, I read about those AIDS patients. And when I preach to you on them in a few weeks, I'm going to be telling you about the horrors that a person goes through that's dying of AIDS. They go through horrors that cancer patients know nothing about. Buddy, you talk about horrible. It is horrible. And I thought about them and I thought, Lord, I could cry just thinking about them. I can cry about a man laying in the bed. Suffering. Knowing he's going to be out of it in a little bit. Can't I cry about a soul that's going to burn in a fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? You see how the devil tries messes us up? Well, let me give you another in Luke chapter 1. This will be the last one, and I'll give you another thing, and I'm closing. Luke chapter 1. I'll give you a man of prayer. A son of prayer, I should say. Here's another woman in the same shape, barren. Couldn't have no kids. Or didn't have no kids. And in Luke chapter 1, we'll look at her here. Her name's Elizabeth. Stay with me now just a few minutes and I'll close. Luke chapter 1 verse 12. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for what? Thy prayer is heard. And Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And they prayed, 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 and they prayed for a boy. And God said, All right, Zach, your prayer's heard. I'll be sending you a son. In the near future. Don't you think it's about time we got in here and prayed? I want to tell you something, folks. It scares me what I'm about to say. And you better not, don't take this wrong. I'm just going to tell you something. There's a lot of churches got their eyes on us. That bothers me. It scares me because there's a lot of pressure. I don't want to feel pressured to do something. To perform, you know. I don't like that at all. I want to do something for God. These churches all over this country saying, well, if God's doing it in Marion, if God can do it in Marion, He can do it here. They're saying that. And when they're talking about God doing it in Marion, they ain't referring to the Baja's up the road here. I've met people that would give half of their salary in other places, starving for the fellowship and the power of God and the blessing, to go to a church like this right here. I'm not saying it's going to be just as good without me. God wants it that way and everything. Don't you take me wrong. I'm just saying there's people all over this nation that would love to be a part of this. And I want to tell you men something here. You better not take it for granted. Most time, ladies pray more and better than men. Most of the time. I'm talking to some men here tonight. Need to get back in the prayer closet.
Amen. Let me give you this, buddy, if you want something to think about. I was down in South Carolina preaching, and we went down by a car lot, and I noticed a big crowd of people standing around, and had one of them little tents like a funeral home sets up, and there's a new car inside that little tent, and a bunch of people standing around it, and this guy was taking me out to eat or somewhere. I said, what are they doing? He said, oh, it's a sales gimmick that the car lot's putting on. They're giving away a new car. And he said, what they're doing is, many of you might have heard of these contests, where they're going to set a new car out, and they advertise it on the paper and everything. They set a new car out, and they say, all right, everybody who wants to join the contest, come and put your hand on that car. And the last one standing with his hand on the car wins it free. And see, after a while, people said, I'm tired of it, and quit and go home. And there was about 10 people, I guess, standing there like this. I said, hello. He said, some of them been there since yesterday. He said, some of them been there since last night. And guess what I read?
They done that, and they give one of them cars away, and you know who won it? A boy stood and put his hand on a car for 78 hours. That is 3 full days. No, wait a minute. That's more than that, ain't it? Yeah, that's 3 full days and nights and 6 more hours to boot. They said, that boy stood there, you hearing me, church? Y'all hearing me? They said he held his hand on a car. That car couldn't have been worth more at a maximum of $15,000. He stood there and held his hand on it for 78 hours. They said they staggered off. Said one girl stood there so long, she forgot where she was and just staggered off by kiss. Didn't even know where she was, man. Walked out in the street, said her feet was swollen. She done trying to win a new car. I say this. That's what they want to do. That's their business. I imagine if a man could tough it out, 2 full days would be worth a new car. That's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good pay. $15,000 if they're going to do that, if you could stand it. But here's what gets me. We can't get God's people to pray and lay their hand on God and pray for 15 minutes. Amen. Now, buddy, I don't know what that does to you. That makes me want to crawl under the altar. I don't know how that makes you feel, church, but that makes me feel like a dog. I don't know what that does to you, but I preach myself under conviction. I need to be the first one down here saying, God, if a man can hold on to a car for 78 hours just for a brand new car, surely, surely, surely to goodness, I can stay up, I can lose some sleep, I can miss a meal hanging on to the horn of the altar. Let somebody be saved and stay out of hell. Surely. Last thing I'm saying is the church will have sons of joy when souls are born again. God will help us. He'll help us. We just cry out, God. Boy, I would like to see God just dump out a bunch of souls. In this, bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the field of sin. Bring them in. I look at our young people tonight, those that God the Holy Ghost come down on last year on August the 11th at camp. And I think where their lives would be tonight had not somebody prayed, had not somebody labored. And I don't know who all prayed, and I don't know who all labored. But I know one thing, God reached down that night and touched some young lives that ain't never been the same since. And people's gone to heaven because of that service. Oh, I'm saying to you tonight, church, it can happen again. It will happen again. It will happen again by the grace of God, if we'll get down to business. Get our burden. Have you ever noticed that you used to have a real burden, but now you just got to where it don't matter to you? You say, Brother Danny, I know, I just ain't got a burden. I can't cry. I want to say something and I'm through. No kidding. Lord willing. I've heard people say this ever since I've been saved. I've heard preachers dismiss and say, God, get a hold of them lost people out there. God, don't let them sleep a wink tonight. Brother, that ought not to be our prayer. It ought to be, God, don't let us sleep a wink tonight. Don't let us sleep a wink tonight. I'm going to put you a challenge tonight. I'm going to put you a challenge. I'm challenging 50 people here tonight during our 8 weeks of Bring Them In to visit every week for 8 weeks. We'll have our Thursday morning, we'll have our Thursday night, we'll have our Saturday morning. You can pick either one of them three you can make it to and knock on door, try to bring somebody to Jesus for 8 straight weeks. I'm challenging 50 people. Maybe 200, but I'm challenging 50 to do that. I'm challenging the rest of you to do your best on your job. You preachers here tonight, there ain't nobody going to listen to you preach if you don't visit and knock on doors and tell somebody about the Lord. They don't want to hear you tell them how to live if you ain't doing what God wants you to do. Teachers, bus workers, hey, if you're a Christian, not a preacher or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or anything, people expect you to tell about your Jesus to somebody else. And you do what God wants you to do. Let's just stand and bow our heads. I'm saying if we'll mean business, God will use us to win somebody. That's what I'm saying. If we'll mean business, God will use us to win somebody. Surely we can cry. Surely we can cry. Surely we can weep over somebody going to hell. Surely. Surely. Some of you got brothers. Unless they get saved, they're going to hell. Some of you got sisters or a mama or a daddy. Or, hey, where's your daddy tonight? Where's your daddy? Where's your mama? Where's your brother? Where's your sister? Time's running out. Surely. Oh, God, give me children outside die. God, give me children outside die. That's mean business tonight. Oh, how long has it been since we wept? How long has it been since we got down to business and said, God, if that's what it takes, that's what I'll do. Whatever it takes for my will to break. Give me children. Else I die. How about it tonight? God speaking to your heart. How about that visitation, huh? How about that man you work with? What about that lady that you work near? Visitation ain't the only time you're supposed to witness. Do we have a burden? Give me children, else I die. If a man hold his hand on a car 78 hours, me and you ought to be able to pray 2 hours or 20 hours or whatever it takes to see God birth people into the family of God. Surely to goodness we can. Surely we want souls to be saved more than somebody wants a car. Surely we do. God help us if we don't. Surely we do. Are we that far away from God? Are we that backslid? How about it tonight? Make that commitment tonight. If you need to come on right now. Come on. You say, Brother Danny, I've just been playing church. I need to get right with God. I need to do something for the Lord. My. Amen.
Let's get serious about this thing. Getting somebody saved. Amen. Lord of God. Don't get discouraged. If it don't happen in a week, don't worry. God's promised to come on through one of these days. Lord, don't make nobody get saved. Amen. Come on, somebody else. Just get out of your seat. Come right now. Visitor, maybe you're a church member. Maybe you're not a church member anywhere. You need to get right with the Lord. You come right now. Come on. Just get out of your seat. Come on right now. Come on right now. Come on. Come on. Just get out of your seat. Don't wait on somebody else. Say, God, I want to be a soul winner. God, I want to win a soul. God, I ain't going to be satisfied till I win somebody to Jesus. Give me souls or I die. Are you telling somebody about Jesus? Are you? Well, Brother Danny, I ain't been saved long. All you got to do is tell them the Lord saved you and He can save them. That's all. That's all. If you know that much, you know more than most people. Amen.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Who will say it tonight? Who will say, preacher? By the grace of God, I'm going to get somebody. That's when God will start doing things, brother. Did you notice every time I read in the Bible about them ladies, when they really got down to business and poured their heart out, that's when God gave them a son. Isn't that amazing? Seemed like the Lord just waiting on us to see what we're going to do. He's ready to do His part. He's ready. We just got to get ready. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. To dismiss the service tonight. We're under such a heavy burden. I can just feel a heavy, heavy burden here tonight. This is what it's going to take to keep some people from the fire. God help us. We're in the rescue work. We're in the rescue work. We're not here to have fun. We're in the rescue work. Give me children, else I die. When you watch and see if God don't begin to let you find somebody, won't be long. You'll see somebody down on their knees. I guarantee it. He that goeth forth weepeth, buying precious seed, shall doubtless, no doubt about it, doubtless, come again with rejoicing and bring his sheaves with him. You know, when a woman's going to have a baby, there's a lot of suffering and a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of, Man, when that little boy or girl comes into the world, you forget about that. And you watch. Hey, one of these days I'm going to remind you. When we're all shouting and the people's being saved, I'm going to say, you remember the travail? You say, no, I done forgot about that. You forget about it when a child born into the world. It'll seem like nothing then. Struggle now, but it'll seem like nothing then. You got to struggle through them hindrances that keep you from praying. The devil put hindrances. You got to struggle through them, just like fighting your way through the jungle. Fighting your way through the jungle with a machete. And we're going to meet with all the ladies of the church. I want y'all to get right here in these first 6 or 8, 10 rows of pews here as soon as we dismiss. Just, it won't take just a minute. And then all the ladies that want to pray, they'll be coming up to pray Tuesday night at 7 o'clock here at the church. All the ladies that want to pray, that we can have some babysitters. Same thing for visitation. If you've got babies and want to just come in here and pray a while, we talk to some of these young ladies, get them to come and babysit for a little while. Come and pray about 7 o'clock Tuesday night. Men, we'll pray Saturday night, 9 o'clock. First thing I want to do, I don't mean to embarrass anybody, I just felt like I ought to do this. If you can't, don't worry about it. If you won't, you should worry. If you can't, don't. Amen.